Bicycle kick! Goal! Ronnie! What a play! What a shot! And it's touch to be had! Aaron Guillen! Lasso! Elevating!
Yes!
It's Tampa Bay Rowdies who have made a huge upset!
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with Carlos, who continues to shadowbox either his computer or maybe a ghost in the room. Hopefully, it is something that is not so spooky. Carlos, how are you doing tonight?
You don't know. I'm actually boxing you. Several hundred, many hundred miles away. So you don't feel the wrath of my my shadow boxing from down in the Bradenton area, James. James, we're doing well up here in DC. It reached 61 degrees today.
How nice.
Lovely day. It was a lovely bike ride to and from work. I can't complain. I'm having a good day. We have some Rowdies news to talk about. Kind of behind on some of the signings. Not really. We had a lot of content to go through last week, James. Lots of content. We had an interview to get to with Ollie, preseason match to that Eureka was blessed to be at and got some notes from. We had a great chat about USL Division I with Kartik. So if you haven't caught up in your RBLR content, last week is a great place to start because there was a ton of stuff, including, like I said, a chat with a new Rowdy, Ollie Bassett. So I'm really excited, James. It's creeping up on the start of the regular season. I saw someone mention it in the Ralph's Mob Discord yesterday that we are exactly as of yesterday. Oh, I can't find it. We're close. We're close to the start of the season, and it's weird. It kind of snuck up on me. I don't really know, but it's almost here. It's starting to feel like it. And we still have a couple new signings to talk about, even this close to the new season. Mm-hmm. James, what's going on in the world of James Knowles? Anything fun to throw in the podcast here before we jump into Rowdies /USL/signing/preseason? Content?
Well, fun stuff, I will point to the Tampa Bay Sun, who are holding it down while the Rowdies are getting back to their season. We attended the game last week at Riverfront Stadium, and then my wife and I have a game this upcoming weekend where they will actually take on Gotham FC of the NWSL. So if you are a Sun fan or just a fan of soccer or just a fan of sports in general, I might suggest checking that game out on Sunday. There are still tickets available, and it is the Sun versus, again, the NWSL team, Gotham FC, a very good team within the NWSL. But to bring it back home to the Rowdies, where we are focusing today, of course, on this RBLR Rowdy show, Carlos, you're right. We have gotten quite behind with all of the explosive news from the past couple of weeks, as well as interviews. So we apologize in one sense, but on the other side of things, of course, we did get up to a lot of coverage. We still talked about a lot of very interesting stuff. And in particular, I think our two episodes that came out last week were awesome. Eureka did a good job of recapping the pregame show that he went to. And of course, we had the interview with Ollie Bassett, a new member of the team. That's always awesome. And then, Carlos, you mentioned the interview with Kartik. That was fantastic. I always love talking to Kartik because he legitimately knows more about how it works to be a lower league league in America than probably anybody else that we could get on this podcast. Anybody who would come on the podcast, I'll say. So, very, very happy to have him anytime that we can get him. But we have left a lot of news on the cutting room floor, so to speak, and we need to get to all of that. So we will do that this week with a couple of signings, not only for the Rowdies, but also around USL. Before we get into that, want to say, please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and subscribe on any major podcast platform that you use. We are there. And of course, please follow us on all social medias, whatever ones you use. We are there too. At RBLR Sports, we are on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, whatever other ones I'm forgetting. You know what they are. If you are there, again, we are likely there. So please do check us out. Carlos, let's start with the Rowdies news, because that is the most pertinent, of course.
Absolutely.
And I think that we should start with the – let's start with the easier one, I guess, between the two of these. The Rowdies did sign a backup goalkeeper, Ethan Bondre, from the Colorado Rapids and MLS. He was not a regular with the Colorado Rapids first team. He was mostly a player in their MLS Next Pro side, although he did get quite a few appearances there. And I think that he – at least seems to be, does have the resume for a pretty good backup goalkeeper. Carlos, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I would be lying if I told you I knew who Ethan Bondre was before the announcement. I just off the bat am glad we have another goalkeeper on the roster. Mm-hmm. So we're not just relying on Gumbc, who it looks like is pretty clearly the number one now. To stay healthy all season. Ethan Bondre, like you said, played most of his, was signed with the Rapids, but played most of his minutes with Rapids too. He's 26, so very much in like the prime of his athletic career, his physical prime. So not a lot of minutes like throughout his career, wherever he was, it seems like he's kind of been struggling to break through to that first team, right? Sitting in the MLS B teams, Next Pro level and whatnot. So certainly seems like a solid backup keeper. Maybe we have a hidden gem on our hands. I don't know. Maybe he breaks out with the Rowdies. The Rowdies do have the blessing of having such a great goalkeeping squad and staff headed by, of course, Stu Dobson, who's been here for so long and has turned good keepers into great keepers and made great keepers even better. So all that being said, he's in a great place, and I'm biased, obviously, in saying that, but he's in a great place to, you know, get even better. So can't say I know a ton about him, but like I said, good to have another goalkeeper on the roster, nothing else. I mean, he's 26, like I said, veteran of the lower leagues of U.S. soccer, so he's familiar with this game at this point, even though he doesn't have a ton of minutes. So who knows? I think it's a wild card, truly. Maybe he is just a backup keeper and, you know, doesn't really get any minutes the entire year. Or maybe he has a Phil Brano moment and makes a penalty stop in the playoffs at the end of the season. Who knows? It's really up in the air at this point. So, a hearty welcome to the Rowdies, and hopefully we can see him flourish here.
Yeah, you mentioned probably the most important part of this is literally just having someone who is designated as another goalkeeper on the roster. At this point, we don't have enough information to go off of Ethan Bondre, unless you are someone who was watching MLS Next Pro and specifically the Rapids 2 team. I will not count myself, as much of a soccer sicko as I am, among that crowd. Carlos, I think I can speak for you as well there.
Maybe there's someone on this live who is a Pacific University Tigers fan from 2017 through 2019 and can tell us about his college career. He got some awards and honors while he was in college. Like, it's not like this guy is just kind of floating through. Like, he's definitely got some honors to his name, and looks like he has the potential here to get better even under our GOAT, Stu Dobson. James, by the way, do you know how long he's been here? I don't even
know. I do not know offhand.
It's been forever, and I have to find this number, because every time I see him announced at the beginning, there's always a change in like the staff and assistant coaches and, you know, some of like the, video analysts and whatnot. But Stu Dobson is a name I've seen in that, you know, announcement at the beginning of a game, starting 11 and the staff or whatever, for like ever. I'm going to have to look that up another point. But yeah, James, sorry to interrupt you on Ethan Bondre. I don't know. Is any more commentary to add on him?
Well, I just wanted to state that we are coming very close to our first game of the season. It is Saturday, March 8th. Yeah. So imagine we are just about in the month of March. Friday will, in fact, be the last day of February. That gives us one more week following Friday for our first game of the season, our first competitive game in 2025. Having a secondary keeper on the roster is extremely important. And just as you said, there is the potential, of course, that he could be somebody who either Stuart Dobson takes and turns into a well-rounded top-level goalkeeper, or possibly we even have that already on our hands and we're just unaware because we haven't seen him. So, yeah, that's all positive, and I will see probably – I imagine we will see some type of announcement for a third goalkeeper. I don't know if that'll be another academy player or somebody else, but usually teams will carry at least three just to be safe. Think about a World Cup roster. Most of them, of course, have three goal. Well, necessarily at this point in time, necessarily they have three goalkeepers, and that is a good idea. So, yes, Ethan Bondre is a good signing for us to have and keep around this season. Let's see how much playing time he ultimately gets and then what he does with it. But yeah. I'm just happy that we are more ready to go come March 8th. That's positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be surprised if we go out and pick up another like goalkeeper that's not an academy kid. I feel like that's been the trend for the last several seasons. So yeah, like you said, I'd imagine some sort of announcement about the, I don't know, this year's group of academy kids, and one of them more than likely, in my expert prediction, academy kid. By the way, Eureka on the Google search, by the way, 2015 was when we've got Stuart Dobson into this Rowdies club. So congrats.
This is a decade then.
Yeah. This year is 10 years with the Rowdies. That's pretty sweet. Yeah. I mean, he's up there with like Ryan Helfrich in terms of like how long he's been with the club itself. So that's pretty sweet. It's kind of great to have someone like that in the coaching staff who's been around for quite a long time to, you know, even help with a guy like Robbie Nielsen who comes into the new team. Help talk about the culture of the locker room and whatnot. That's great stuff. Shout out Stuart Dobson. Shout out him. I'm sure he'll take Ethan and make him into a fantastic keeper. James, the other signing that happened, we mentioned this several weeks ago now, by the way.
Yes, it was a well-founded rumor, obviously. It turned out to be pretty good.
one of the least well-kept, one of those poorly kept secrets, better put. In the Rowdies transfer world this offseason was the Cammy McPherson loan pickup. I can't even remember. It's been several episodes since we even mentioned it as a rumor. It came up on Twitter at some point and then was mentioned several times, I think like on BBC in the UK, like several weeks ago. So this has been something that we'd heard about for a while and we just hadn't seen the Rowdies announce this. So for whatever reason, it took a while to get that processed. But yeah, Cammy McPherson coming in on loan officially now. You might have heard us mention this, like I said, several episodes ago. But officially, Cammy McPherson is a Tampa Bay Rowdy for this year. Like we said a while ago, Cammy McPherson is joining us from St. Johnstone in Scotland, where he was a central midfielder. 26 years old? Sorry. Let me fact check myself. I should have probably had this up when I started talking about it, James. Cammy McPherson, 26 years old. Like we said earlier, 54 appearances for St. Johnstone since 2021. Had a loan stop at Stranraer. And played for 5 years at St. Mirren, 61 appearances there. You would notice if you take a look at his transfer market and like FotMob and whatnot, that he had a pretty significant drop off in appearances this past season. Hasn't gotten a ton of minutes for St. Johnstone, and we'd be remiss to not mention the part of the story where he got into some hot water with the St. Johnstone fan base for, I think it was a retweet of a video by, and this, I'm just reading this off of the BBC story now. It was a retweet. He's sharing a video by far right activist Tommy Robinson, who just kind of spewed content in this video from that actually led him to lose a libel case in 2021. So, feel free to look that up. But the short story, James, is that he had gotten in some heat with the club, apologized. The fans were not happy over there. And evidently, I think we would be overlooking it if we didn't say that probably played some role in his leaving the club, at least for the season.
Yeah.
So I would, yeah, it seems like that's probably a factor in this. On the soccer side of it, Robbie Nielsen seems to have a great outlook on the guy, obviously. I mean, there's a reason why the Rowdies are probably, you know, maybe putting their neck out for a player a bit more than they normally would. Maybe there's some extra talent in here that we don't see reflected necessarily in the numbers, but yeah, Robbie Nielsen says from when he was coaching in Scotland, he saw Cammy as a player to potentially make a move for, but we didn't end up doing it. Always kept an eye on him since. This is from the Rowdies press release, by the way. When an opportunity came up to bring him here, I pushed really hard because I think he'll bring real quality to the team. Guy that controlled the game for us in the central midfield area. Athleticism, move about, great technique to score goals, all around midfielder. So 26 years old, plenty of experience at this point in the Scottish Premiership. So obviously a pretty competitive league that James will vouch for, having been a longtime Rangers fan.
It's half-half, so-so in terms of quality, I should say.
Yeah, it's the Rangers Celtic, like, you know.
It's Rangers and Celtic, and then it's also usually of late Celtic.
Yeah. So take that with a grain of salt. Still, obviously, plenty of great, you know, clubs over there and whatnot. So, for me, Cameron McPherson seems to be a sort of a wild card on the field. Don't really see the numbers that back up, like, you know, an insane offensive presence like Robbie Nielsen might have mentioned in the press release. Seems to have a knack for goals, what he was saying. Not a ton of goals in his time at St. Johnstone or St. Mirren. Knocked in a bunch of assists in his time, though. But like I said, has been missing the field for a while, not getting a ton of minutes in the last several months. And again, I think partly, if not mainly, because of the hot water he got himself in with the St. Johnstone fans. Who, by the way, if you're active on the Rowdies Twitter, you probably saw, I think I saw yesterday, it was like at 16, it was 15, 16 angry St. Johnstone fans who were making their happiness known. Cammy McPherson's one of the Rowdies, so I don't know, take that with a grain of salt. They are in last place in Scotland, so they are already predisposed to being quite upset about how the season's going. I don't know. That's a long-winded way of saying soccer-wise, the jury's out, I think. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good pickup. I don't know if this is a starter off the bat, though, James, based on how kind of deep we are in the central midfield.
Right.
I will mention he has at least one preseason goal already this year, and there might be one more, and I'm trying to remember if that was the case, because when that later preseason game was played, it was a trialist goal as well, and I'm not sure if it was him. Either way, Cam McPherson having a pretty decent preseason apparently as well. James, anything to add on this? Any extra chat on the soccer side or the, you know, the Tommy Robinson side?
Yeah, I guess I can provide just slightly more context. Tommy Robinson is a guy who, I don't know, you could probably describe him as a right-wing provocateur over in England, especially, not Scotland specifically. But it should be noted that the case for which this whole problem originally developed was a video that Tommy Robinson tweeted out. This video was ultimately something that he was sued over for, like Carlos said, libel, and he ultimately lost that case. So regardless of people's opinions and regardless of people's politics, we're not trying to necessarily get into the politics of it, or as much as we can avoid that, of course, Carlos. It is a very, very tough way to do that. But as much as we can avoid it, the case here is simply that this video was ultimately the grounds for a libel lawsuit that was successful against Tommy Robinson. So whatever occurred within the video that Cammy McPherson identified with, ultimately we can probably say that was incorrect. He did put out a lengthy statement afterwards, and the club also put out a statement at the time. So I just want to read his statement after this, because it is something that I think we should take into account here. I have shown poor judgment without considering the club's code of conduct. Upon reflection and my own further research, I fully understand why people have been so upset and angry regarding the situation. I have now fully understood the impact of my actions, and I am committed to learning from this experience. So I can understand that there is a lot of anger for a lot of people involved in this, and I would probably say that some people are coming at this from a soccer side, some people are coming at this from a politics side, maybe some people are coming at it from both. And it's unfortunate that this is something that has impacted his career, but it is but that's obviously up to St. Johnstone. I'm not saying that they should not act on what is seemingly a very strong sentiment among their supporters group. I will point out that we have not seen many comments that were supportive, let's say. Regardless of,
well, they were supportive of the move.
Yes, exactly. Right. And supportive of the move as opposed to the player here. So, right. Yeah, Carlos, you pointed out as well that this is the Rowdies sticking out their necks for him. And I think that is definitely the case here. If the Rowdies feel that he is a player who has truly rehabilitated himself in whatever way that they see as necessary, then fantastic, legitimately fantastic. If it's just the case that somebody can at least learn enough to keep themselves off of Twitter, you know, we can all probably stay off of Twitter, but also in this particular case, that's probably for the best too. So I think that it remains to be seen exactly how this works out, because he hasn't played a competitive game yet, obviously, and he will be judged first by the stuff that he does on the field, as long as there is nothing off the field that takes headlines again. But yeah, I'm trusting at this point of the Rowdies ownership group and the Rowdies coaching staff that if they say that there is a player that they think can add to our group, and obviously detracting from the group includes stuff like this, it has detracted from St. Johnstone. I think that that's definitely fair to say. So if they think that that's not something that's going to happen here with the Rowdies, then fair enough. And I hope that they get proven right.
Yeah. I mean, I have no reason not to trust the club. Decent history in terms of, you know, doing things the right way in the last, you know, however many years we've been in existence, 15 in the modern era, 16. So yeah, I mean, like you said, we can trust the Rowdy's judgment for now on this, and looks to be a player that can certainly add to the midfield. I don't know if it's a starting role off the bat. Like I said, there's a healthy level of competition in that attacking midfield area for the Rowdy's, which is fantastic, obviously.
And defensively as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. So roster wise, as we kind of approach the beginning of the new season, can't really ask to be in a much better position. Pretty good depth in the midfield, decent depth in the back line as well now, two goalkeepers, quality strikers in Pasillas and Arteaga, and a little bit of depth on that end with Mustali. And I'm sure if needed, we can work in some sort of, you know, attacking midfielder into a striker role if, you know, God forbid we get to that point in injury front. James, on that end, I like you said, we mentioned earlier that we wouldn't be surprised to see an academy goalkeeper join the ranks. I wouldn't be surprised to see like an academy striker join the ranks as well.
Yeah.
Throw another one in there to really, you know, add to that depth. I mean, that's where we are. I think I'd be surprised to see any big moves at this point. So I think we can.
I think the only way something like that would happen is if somebody was made available that nobody expected to be available.
Yeah.
And then he would want, for whatever reason, to sign for the Rowdies.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, who knows? We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the season, but anything can happen. As we well know in the world of lower league soccer in the United States, it's quite literally the Wild West out here. Man, I wish we had like a next segment being about like the West Coast teams or Western Conference, because that would have been a great transition. But yeah, James, that's where we're with the roster. Cam McPherson joining us on loan from St. Johnstone. That I feel like we haven't mentioned that, by the way, on loan. Like, I feel like that's gotten overlooked as well.
Yeah.
Even from the St. Johnstone fans, by the way, it's on loan. This is a loan for now. Who knows? Maybe he sticks around. I wouldn't be surprised based on the reaction. Yeah. So that's where we are, James. Anything else to add on either of these two new signings? Maybe some roster commentary as we approach the new year. Anything else to add?
I think that we can get into the full roster build out a bit more when we're doing a preview. So, Carlos, I will leave it to you to walk us through the preseason games that we have already played.
Well, yeah, we'll save some more roster breakdown. Even next week, James. Man, next week will be right.
Yeah,
next week will be the game week. Mm-hmm. Right, that's wild. That's wild to think about. Next week we'll be talking about. We'll be previewing an opening game. That's awesome.
Yeah, we haven't even had the chance to do the previews that we have done in years past about an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference preview because of everything that just happened in the month of February.
Yeah, we've been filled with content. It is awesome. I mean, this is, I think, partially for me and you personally, and I might be speaking for you, James, as well. That's kind of why the offseason somewhat flew by as well.
For sure.
A lot happening in the world of USL, a lot of big moves, obviously USL Division I semi recently. There's been a lot to talk about, even though so many of these preseason games have been closed, by the way. So let me just run you through the last couple preseason games, the little bit I know, because they were both highly closed door. On February 19th, the Rowdies squared up against Tormenta FC, South Georgia Tormenta, obviously. A preview of what we might see in the Jägermeister Cup, which will be a blast this year as we host them.
Yep.
Lined up with a starting lineup, which included Nico Campisi in net, Van Kaziel, Castellanos, and Guillen on the back line, Nyonga Bire, a trialist, Ollie Bassett, Danny Crisostomo, Blake Bodily, and then up top, the regular two, it seems, that we will be running with, of Pasillas and Arteaga. Sorry, Leo Fernandez was in for Ollie Bassett, actually. The Rowdies opened up the scoring in the first half of this one with a 1-0 lead, but that makes no sense. It was a goal from a trialist, and one of these trialist goals was Kane McPherson, and I don't remember which one. Another trialist would score a goal in the second half. The only actual information, concrete information that I can give you is that Arteaga scored the second goal of the game. So Arteaga seems to be in good form. Pasillas got a goal against Montreal. He has that, 2 goals in this preseason, I believe. So plenty of subs later on in this one. 4 different trialists came in as well as subs later on. Who knows who they are? No clue. 2 more trialists. Actually, 3 more trialists would come in the second half. Jeez, James. So there was a total of like 9 trialists in this one. The Rowdies would go on to win 3-0. I will note the one thing I really wanted to mention here before I jump into the USF game, which I say jump into the USF game, there's really nothing to say about that. I have no clue what happened. I'll note that Forrest Lasso got subbed in for Aaron Guillen in this game, against Tormenta. I think for me, this seems to be quicker in terms of recovery than I had even thought. I figured we might get him like early on in the season. But he's getting minutes in preseason, James. Like, we'd seen him kind of moving around, but getting game minutes, even though it's a preseason game, getting, you know, action on the field, I think that's notable for sure. So keep that in mind, take that with a grain of salt. I'm sure the Rowdies don't feel a need to rush him into the starting lineup either, given that we have a pretty solid group right now between Castellanos and Guillen and White and depth and Van Kaziel. So we're quite set in terms of having a competent, good back line. But bear in mind that Forrest Lasso is already getting minutes coming back from that injury, which is really, really good to see. Like I said, we might get him back even earlier than we expected. And then I'll just mention the fact that Rowdies did play USF at the Waters Complex on February 22nd, so just a few days ago. I don't know what happened. I can give you the starting lineup, James. It was Bondre in net, White, Castellanos, and the trialist on that back line. Nyonga Bire, McPherson, Bassett, Crisostomo Bodily in the midfield, and Pasillas and Arteaga up top. Where's your starting 11? I don't really know anything about shots, who played well, whatever. It was super closed door. I just know the game ended in a 0-0 draw. Yeah, no lasso minutes that I can see in this one, but like I said, who really knows? Maybe the Rowdies just didn't mention it on Twitter. But those two preseason games did happen, and that's all we can really say. Now we can look ahead to the regular season, James. Or is there one more preseason game?
I can't tell you offhand. Let me go back to our doc and double check. Last one is February 28th.
Yeah.
On, we're playing. Yeah. February 28th is the last one versus Orlando City B.
Yeah. 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 That's what I thought.
That's why we have it in the doc, folks.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that's happening. Bear that in mind. Also closed door. So I don't know if we'll get any information from that. James, those are your preseason matches as of today. That's about it. Should we jump into USL news? Some wider transfer information, transfer news. Again, news that we're maybe even like a week and a half outdated on at this point, but there's just so much to talk about last week. We really could not fit this in, even across two episodes.
Even across two. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Even across two episodes. Let's jump into that USL news.
Yeah. Before we do that, I'm going to give you a shameless plug, listeners. Liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new thread, you can be sure to support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com, shop.rblrsports.com, and checking out all the fun designs cooked up over there. Link is in the description of wherever you're watching this. Promo code COYR for 10% off at shop.rblrsports.com. Plenty of threads for all your Tampa Bay sports teams, Sun, Rowdies, Lightning, who are coming up to play the Capitals this weekend in DC. Super excited. Bucks, Rays, everything's over there. Check it out. Okay, USL transfer news, including Rowdies transfer news. Again, we're a little bit delayed on this, but you probably saw this already. Cal Jennings went to the conference rivals, by the way, Charleston Battery, linking up with Lee Cohen once again. Yeah, I mean, disappointing this is a good word for it. I think I was okay with Cal Jennings heading out and looking for another club because I think the assumption was he was going to potentially explore opportunities in Europe. For whatever reason, that did not work out. Ended up back in the USL, unfortunately, back in the USL with a conference rival, which sucks because obviously we're going to be playing him at least twice a year. Not great. Three times this year, actually, with the Jägermeister Cup, by the way. So that'll give us problems. I'm sure he'll score a goal on us, but it is what it is. I will say I'm quite content with where our attacking unit is right now. I really like what Pasillas has in store. I think it's a pretty good trade-off, if I'm being honest. Pasillas looks to have a lot of the Cal Jennings qualities and is actually like a little bit taller and bigger. So I think we can see very similar play styles between with Pasillas and Cal Jennings. But that being said, still disappointing to see Cal Jennings join the Charleston Battery in this 2025 season. Anything on this, James?
Disappointment. Yep, that is where I am as well. I don't have anything more to add because we don't have any more of the background information. Originally, it was speculated that he was going to go to try somewhere that was literally outside of North America. And unfortunately, of course, that's harder. It's easier said than done. I don't know what places his agent would have knocked on the door or whatever, but for whatever reason, yeah, that hasn't panned out. And so I guess the easiest thing was to see what contacts he has back here. And one of those definitely is Lee Cohen. So Lee Cohen is a master at what he does in finding good players. So I guess I'm not too surprised in that sense. The only problem, of course, is that it is a team that we will play at least twice, if not more times. So yeah, depending on playoffs, of course, depending on Open Cup, and the Jägermeister Cup, there are actually several instances in which we could come across Cal Jennings for Charleston Battery. Last season, they had a regular striker in MD Myers and then a backup striker in Jackson Conway. Of course, they lost Nick Markanich, who went over to Spain. I actually don't know how he's doing there. I should check on him at some point. But Cal Jennings is not going to fill in for Nick Markanich. I will say that. He's not the same type of player, and they won't be playing from the same type of position. So I don't know exactly how he's going to fit on the field for Charleston, possibly as the starting striker ahead of MD Myers. I think that he beat MD Myers for scoring, but regardless, we're going to see how all of that plays out very quickly. Don't you worry, folks. And I can only say that I wish him the best again when he's not playing us. Yeah. I think that we have said that, Carlos, many, many times, but this is especially true for someone as dangerous as Cal Jennings.
Oh no, this is probably the most applicable it's ever been. We love that phrase. It's a good one. But this is the most applicable, like, and most relevant signing it makes sense for. Again, Cal Jennings, incredible goal scorer for us. I'm sure we'll do the same for Charleston Battery. It's going to be a good squad in Charleston, absolutely. I think they lose a lot of what made them really, really elite in Markanich leaving, obviously. They'll certainly be very good, but I think this squad is a little bit behind where they were last year, just naturally when you lose a almost generational talent like that, at least for the USL level in Markanich. So, I think it'll be some good matchups. Absolutely. They're certainly up there in terms of, you know, your top Eastern Conference squads, and this pickup probably helps reinforce that. But I think we're up there too. I think Louisville's up there right now. I think, Birmingham is a really good looking squad right now. So, there's a good concentration of really good teams in the top of the East right now. So we'll see how it all plays out. There's only one way to see it on the field, James. So luckily, we'll be able to see that, like you said, very soon.
Yep, absolutely we will. And Cal, you are welcome on the podcast anytime if you do want to tell us all the bad things about Charleston.
yeah. About the Battery, the city's really cool. If you haven't had a chance to go to Charleston for an away game, if you want to book your away game tickets early on this season, like I am, Charleston's a really, really fun one to go to. And you'll have two opportunities this time with the Jägermeister Cup and the league game this year. So definitely worth checking it out for at least one of those games. Great city. I'm sure we'll win both of those games. So
absolutely. And yeah, Charleston's very fun. But with that, we will move on to the next piece of USL news. Oakland Roots have signed former Mexican international Jürgen Damm for 2025. Damn. I should update this because I wrote 2024, but it is 2025. And Carlos, this is a big signing. I don't know how much of former Jürgen Damm we're going to see in the USL Championship. He's definitely not going to be the player that he was when he was representing Mexico, for instance. But I still think that this is a big name, and he's going to contribute a lot for Oakland Roots this year.
No, I don't know, James. I mean, he's going to be their best player, but Oakland Roots isn't like a particularly scary squad to me yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's going to draw some publicity, though. Obviously, he has drawn some publicity for Oakland. I think it's going to be one of those players that generates, like, single-handedly a slight increase in attendance, which I think is going to be great for them because they're going to be playing in a pretty large stadium in the Coliseum.
That's going to look interesting.
so hopefully they get decent crowds over there so it doesn't look like how it's looked for the Oakland A's for the last decade or so. Sorry, that was a low blow if anyone from Oakland's listening to me. That being said, yeah, I mean, it's a cool pickup. It's good for the USL that the USL is drawing, you know, these former big name players. Well, not former, these big name players who, you know, are maybe on the back half of their careers. So this is great for Oakland. This is great for the USL as a whole, I think. I'm still not particularly, like, concerned with Oakland being a championship squad in our one match against them this year that we'll play. I'm still taking us, but I take us against most squads, even if it's like Real Madrid or something. So that doesn't really mean much. James, what do you have to say about this? On the field, like, he's going to help the squad. Absolutely. Like, he will help Oakland. So I think it's great for them. But I think for me, it's more of like a testament to the USL and what we've got going on in the league so far.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's interesting in that sense because Oakland are a team that their roster probably isn't one of the top end rosters in the league. Even now, they have a couple of players. We're going to get to another one later, but they had a couple of players who were from their academy. And I think that that is actually one of their bigger focuses is trying to get more academy players involved at the top level for themselves and then sell them on, like we're going to get to in a little bit. The other big player on their roster is Panos Armanakis. He is a U.S.-born Australian youth international who was with Memphis last season, part of the season. Phoenix is where he actually started the 2024 campaign. So between Armanakis and Dom, it's actually they've got two very good players. The rest of the squad is not super, super, super talented as far as I can see. However, the other thing that I will say is that, yeah, Carlos, this does look good for them. I think that the big thing that Oakland are doing right now is they're trying to establish their bona fides as a real top level professional team. So the USL Division I that we talked about last week, I'm pretty sure Oakland wants to be a part of that. And possibly there's some type of revamp that can be done to the Coliseum. I don't know the layout totally there. I don't know if they're trying to get a different place lined up where they can build that. I think that there's been a lot of talk about Oakland with a stadium situation for a long time. And there are people involved in the organization who seem to have the money to go and put something up that would be good. But yeah, this is them saying we are a real organization. Maybe we're not spending a ton on our roster like we might, but all of that probably is going towards something in the future. Like, let's say, a nice new stadium where we can get all of these players to come in and play for us in a top division league. That's, I think, what Oakland is looking to do.
Yeah. And I think they're in a really promising situation because Oakland is so devoid of professional sports now. And like, it's craving for like a Oakland identity with the A's leaving and everything. And a lot of people in the area really kind of rallied around the roots, taking over the Coliseum. And, you know, I'm hoping that turns into, you know, real concrete momentum in terms of attendance and support for them and whatnot. Maybe we see a cool story developing over there this year with the Roots. I think that'd be really, really cool. Like you said, maybe they're trying to establish, well, not maybe, it looks like they're trying to establish themselves as a top USL organization and, you know, to make this jump to USL Division I, whatnot, you know. And I think part of that comes with really establishing themselves as like Oakland's not only soccer team, as Oakland's like only professional sports team right now, basically. So hopefully the city rallies around them and maybe we see them in, you know, USL Division I. We'll keep holding that carrot on a string in front of them for now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. They will be a good rival team to Sacramento if and when all of this takes place and if and when all of it lines up for the USL organization.
Yeah, it does make sense. Oakland does seem like a good city for this, for, you know, USL Division I. It feels weird saying. It feels like, I don't know, like kind of it feels like we're holding, like I'm saying, like it feels like we're holding a carrot on a string here in front of all these teams now, like trying to, you know, make themselves Division I worthy. You know, it feels a little slimy, but you know, that's where we are in US soccer. USL Division I, James, who knows? Promotion, relegation, all the buzzwords. We'll see what happens. Matthew Corcoran, James. Sorry, did I jump ahead? Anything else to say about your and Dom? Or are we moving on?
No, the only thing that I will say, Carlos, instead is let's go to the next bullet point and then jump back to Matthew Corcoran because we can stick with Oakland Roots for one more second. They have sold homegrown player Edgar Cruz, not Estgar, as I thought it was previously, Edgar Cruz, to Club America in Liga MX. This is a big move. Again, they are trying to show their bona fides as a real top-level club. They're trying to build out a real infrastructure and make themselves look like a top-tier organization. I think their ability to sell a player to a club like Club America is a very good sign, not only for them as an organization, but again, going back to the theme of these last couple of moves, a very good sign for the USL as a whole. They clearly see something in this player. That's understandable from what I saw from him. Not very much, to be fair. But yeah, Edgar Cruz, congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Roots. And I hope that he does very well at Club America and then plays for the USA America.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one, James. I like that. Edgar. What a name, by the way. I've never, ever met anyone with a T in front of, like, Edgar.
Yeah, yeah. Name.
Oh, good for him. All right, back to the spoiler. I got ahead of myself on earlier. Matthew Corcoran has made the move from Birmingham Legion out of the USL to Nashville, former USL. Nashville SC in Major League Soccer. And, by the way, started on this opening week of Major League Soccer. So good for him. Really kind of diving into the deep end with Nashville off the bat. Can't say I knew how he played or watched any MLS games this week. But James, that's pretty exciting. Again, fun to know that we are producing, the USL is producing great talent, moving to Club America, moving to Nashville, abroad, obviously. This is a fun one. I feel like this kid has a lot of potential. We've talked about him a lot in USL circles because he seems to have such a high ceiling. I mean, is already playing so competitively with, you know, grown men in USL. This is pretty cool because, like I said, he is going to be able to do some great things based on already starting for Nashville this week in this first game. So that's pretty exciting. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Good for him. Good for the kid. Good for Birmingham, by the way. I think just good for the USL as a whole. Again, this is a theme. Obviously, it's a theme. But, James, what else can we add about Matthew? Mr. Matthew Corcoran.
Just one of the better youth players across the entire USL over the last couple of seasons. It's unfortunate in 2024, he missed a lot of time because he had a long-term injury, so we didn't get to see as much of him then. But regardless, we still know that he's a very good player based off his resume beforehand. And he came to Birmingham from Dallas. That was it, from Dallas. So they obviously have a very good academy too. But he got his start as a professional with Birmingham. Saw that there was a clear pathway to the first team, and he went and he forged it. And my assumption was that he was going to go and try his luck in Europe once he turned 18. So my assumption now becomes, if he's going to go to Nashville, there was some agreement that, hey, if I do well enough, a European team comes looking for me, you're gonna allow me to go. That's just, again, there, that's just speculation. Just pulled that out of my hat. And yeah, so I think that this is good for him in the long run because he is obviously at a place where he's going to get a good amount of playing time. That's what everybody at that his age needs, is as much playing time at the highest level that you can get as possible. So yeah, no negatives here. I guess there's one negative. Birmingham definitely sold his contract and they got some amount of money. We don't know what. But they have turned around and invested pretty well into their roster. So that part sucks for us. Other than that, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Exciting. But it's good when the USL teams, like, collectively are making more money and can be more competitive and whatnot. I am getting a little frustrated that it seems to be only in the Eastern Conference that this is the case. Outside of, like, maybe two teams in the West. But I digress. One more bit of USL news here, not transfer news, but a current player that's not playing in a USL squad, but is getting involved in an ownership group, is U.S. men's national team defender Chris Richards has joined the Birmingham Legion ownership group. Pretty cool, pretty exciting. You've seen a lot of either current prominent American players or former prominent American players getting involved in the USL, which I think is pretty cool, pretty exciting. I'll mention another one in our extra time segment here in just in a little bit. But yeah, this one's, yeah, just another line, another case in you know, this pattern we've seen of prominent American soccer players getting involved with USL ownership, which is really fun because it's good to know that, you know, American soccer players themselves are getting invested in the growth of the league, seeing the potential presumably in this, you know, Division I expedition and what it has in store. It's exciting. It's good for them to get in on these clubs early while they're still, you know, I don't know, second division, quote unquote, before whatever happens with this Division I. So exciting stuff. Good for him. Good for the Birmingham Legion, I guess.
Yeah. This does follow a couple of other players like we have talked about in very recent episodes, in fact. So I think that I guess more of these guys are seeing this as either some type of prestige project, probably, or somewhere good where they can put their money as professional players who are making probably some good amount of money. And if that's the case, maybe they're not making the type of returns that an MLS owner or investor is making, but they are probably getting something out of this. That's what I can speculate.
Yeah, no, and I will mention, by the way, the connection Chris Richards has is that he's from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
By the way, I forgot to mention that. So that's great. Investing in your local club, I'm sure he sees the potential for the youth to pro pipeline and path that exists with USL across USL teams right now. I don't know. I haven't asked Chris Richards why he wanted to get involved, but I would imagine there's something to do with investing in his local club and, you know, giving back to the community and, you know, helping in theory open this path from the youth worlds of Birmingham, Alabama to the pros in Birmingham Legion. So pretty exciting stuff. Good for him and good for the Birmingham Legion, like I said. Cool. All right. Extra time, James?
Extra time.
Extra time. We're in stoppage time here, guys. Check out our interview with Ollie Bassett last week. I'm going to mention this again. This was part of our 2RBLR episode week last week. Go ahead and check it out. Like I said, if you haven't caught up with our content, that's a great place to start because there was just a lot going on over there. Like I said, our interview with Kartik, our chat with Kartik was fantastic about, you know, the Division One world. We had a chat with Jan Ekra as well. Interview with Ollie Bassett. Like there's just so much going on over there in the last few episodes. Like I said, we've chatting with Jan Ekra, interview with Ollie Bassett, interview with Kartik. I mean, there's been a lot going on. So check out the last few episodes of RBLR. There's just a ton of great content in there as we start to wrap up the offseason and turn our focus to the new year, the new season, Las Vegas, Nevada, where we'll start our opening 2025 season. I'll also throw in here, by the way, Sarasota Paradise has announced that they're bound for USL League One in 2026. That's fascinating, James. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I went to their kickoff event, I guess you could call it, where the owner was there and they introduced the jerseys for the 2025 season, which will be played in USL League Two. If you want nice jerseys, by the way, Sarasota Paradise, actually fantastic jerseys. Really, really good equipment. This year they will be done by Hummel. And I think that anybody who knows the brand Hummel knows how good a job they generally do. So check them out if you are a jersey hunter like I am. I actually do own some Sarasota Paradise gear, much to my wife's malcontent, I suppose. She just doesn't like the city of Sarasota, but that's neither here nor there. So Sarasota will be joining USL League One. That means that they will be jumping up from USL League Two to an actually professional level. And they are currently going to be playing in Lakewood Ranch, which is not Sarasota, for anybody who is familiar. But they have a pretty nice facility out there that they will be building up to meet USL League One standards in the offseason between this League Two season and the upcoming League One season in 2026. So, if we can get the owner on, then we are currently trying to schedule an interview. I don't want to say that we will for sure, just because things pop up. We were going to have Jan Ekra on a week before we ultimately did have Jan Ekra on. And ultimately that worked out. As everybody knows, we had a great interview with him, but things do pop up. So just keep that in mind. We will try and speak with him as long as we can.
This is fascinating to me because I believe this will be the closest professional team to the Rowdies since like VSI Tampa Bay popped up.
Oh yeah. VSI Tampa Bay.
You remember that? And I've, by the way, loved toying with the idea of really diving into the 1 year of VSI Tampa Bay soccer because it's just so, it's such an enigma to me. Like it, my point is there'll be an actual like club, you know, with basically within an hour of the Rowdies, which will be really fascinating. I'm curious to see how that dynamic plays out. As much as, you know, we'd like to say the United States is, you know, a soccer culture, it's not really there yet. And I'm really curious to see how like Sarasota Paradise builds its fan base, you know, and what that looks like. If there's a point in, you know, 10 years where the Sarasota Paradise fans are like really diehard and like hate the Rowdies, but I feel like there will be a blending of, you know, Rowdies fans who live in Sarasota helping to build up the fan base in Sarasota for the Paradise for a little bit. I think that's where my head will be in terms of my prediction is in terms of how their fan base gets initially built up. It's really curious. Like I said, it's really interesting to see how this will play out. I'm really fascinated about like Naples and how they're going to, you know, do in League One as well. So there's a lot going on right now in terms of League One, and there's a lot of teams being added, and I'll just jump into the next point here, by the way. Because joining Sarasota Paradise in League One will be former U.S. men's national team, DeMarcus Beasley's Fort Wayne FC in Indiana. So another club joining the ranks of League One very soon. I just like it's really, really interesting to see how the USL is building out its League One, right? It's very fascinating because you see a lot of expansion happening on the USL side. And I think this is kind of an anticipation of shaking things up with Division One and moving to first division or whatever, and putting itself in a position where there is, you know, enough sustainable clubs that'll be able to hopefully in some X amount of years be able to move up and down between USL's divisions, right?
Well, Carlos, they're as far as we know, they're planning for 2027. So if it comes about in only 2 years, I mean, I think you and I will both be surprised if that happens, but at the same time.
Yeah, I would be very surprised. So, Fort Wayne, I've seen Indiana, another like small to medium-sized market, moving from League Two to League One. So again, this is all really, really fascinating to me. I'm just so curious to see how, like, particularly more local, right, Sarasota Paradise plays out, because I think it'll be challenging, frankly. You know, it's hard to build out a soccer fan base in a smaller community, a community that's, if they are interested in soccer, maybe it is like the Rowdies. You know, you have some Rowdy season ticket holders down there. How do you build out your own like Sarasota Paradise fan base? It's going to be fascinating, and a great challenge for them. I think there's some potential down there. Naples, by the way, has like what, 4,000 season ticket holders already in a 5,000 person stadium. So like,
it's not too bad.
I mean, like, if you told me that, I thought you'd be lying, right? Like, so there's plenty of potential in these communities. Naples is not a community I would have expected to just blossom in lower league soccer already before even playing a League One game. So that's really exciting. By the way, make that trip down there on the 4th of July when the Rowdies play against FC Naples. That'll be a blast, apparently, especially if they pack in 4,000 people in that 5,000 person stadium. It'd be great to have a great, great Rowdy showing down there. So in the broader world of things, just a lot of movement in the League One side, including this Fort Wayne FC move. So very, very interesting. DeMarcus Beasley, by the way, joining that USL or US men's national team, prominent players / former players, joining the USL ranks. So fascinating stuff happening on this end, James. I'm really, really curious, like I said, to see how Sarasota Paradise plays out. It just, I think particularly because it's basically in the Tampa Bay metro area. Like Sarasota, in the way I've always thought about it, is like the last part of that Tampa Bay area, where there's been, you know, this Rowdies club for the last 15 years or so in the modern era. So really, really interesting, really exciting, honestly. And keep an eye out for why I inevitably decide to dive into the short but exciting history of VSI Tampa Bay in that, what, like 2013 season or something. Anything else to mention, James? Anything else you want to add on League One, Sarasota Paradise? Anything, what the kickoff event? Anything else to highlight from there?
No, the kickoff event was fun. Thank you for the pizza, folks. And if anybody wants to go, I believe that this will be Sarasota Paradise's first game at a higher level that is competitive. They will be playing FC Naples on March 18th at 7 p.m. That is a Tuesday, and it is an Open Cup game. It is their Open Cup debut, actually both clubs' Open Cup debut, I should say. So, yeah, I am going to that. It will be an interesting event, and if anybody else can go, I would recommend it. Also, literally just today, apparently, USL Pro Soccer Boise, Boise, Idaho, that is, got some type of approval for their own stadium project at some site in Boise. So potentially another club, as far as the announcement read, that could join USL League One in 2026. So just keep an eye out. It's expanding.
And by the way, like those Boise is a community that if I could put all my money in on like one team being really successful and like really engaging their community, Boise has like such high potential because it's one of those like small cities, not small. It's a medium sized city in the middle of nowhere that gets really riled up for like Boise State University sports.
Yeah.
Because that's like the city lives and breathes it, and that's all there is there. You add a professional sports team to their ranks, I don't think it'll immediately be as big as, you know, Boise State football or anything. But if you add a professional sports team to the ranks, you give them their own stadium, and you give like that city something to really like rally around, that's another city that I think will do really, really well in terms of attendance and support in their community that would otherwise be overlooked if the USL hasn't given that a look. Burlington, Vermont with Vermont Green, I think is a great example of like a small city that just really rallies around their, you know, club out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere to the outside eye. But if you're from the area, you would know that they really get riled up for their teams over there. Like there's so many communities like that around the US. And I think the USL is at least trying to take advantage of that ahead of this Division I jump, right? Jump on Annapolis while they still have this like wave of momentum. Annapolis,
get Annapolis in ASAP. You can't do it 2025. There's literally already a schedule, but get it in there as soon as you can afterwards.
Yeah, Annapolis is fascinating, and they're running this club out of like a almost a closet. Like I saw like the front office headquarters. Like they're running this club in like the 6,000-8,000 person attendances out of like a really, really tiny office. Imagine like you give them professional soccer outside of NPSL, put them in the USL, they get the money that, you know, not a bunch of money, but more money than NPSL. Like that's another area that, like, you know, similar to the Sarasota Paradise versus like Tampa, you know, comparison is almost within the DC metro area almost. And is building out its own independent fan base almost separately from like DC United entirely. Although I'm sure there's overlap there. So it's fascinating stuff going on in the world of lower league soccer. And I'll end my rant there before I keep giving you other examples.
All right. Well, with that, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. When you do, we do ask one more thing though, please follow us on your social medias, whatever those are, at RBLR Sports, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you are, we are too. Blue Sky, that was the one that I forgot earlier. Blue Sky, haha, I've got it. I am mostly on Twitter. If you would like to get at me, you can do so at @RBLRJamesK. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach Carlos at
CarlosDPA10, at CarlosDPA10 on Twitter. Rowdy's content coming soon, for real now. Season's just around the corner, less than 2 weeks away, James. Let's go.
Let's go. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, where you can watch Carlos shadowbox at the start of most episodes, let's say. And we are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you are. 2 weeks away. Come on, you rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.